Tonight is number 39 in our series, and we're discussing the death of Avner Ben-Ner. So all human beings are complex people. No one is really unidimensional. Even if we try to simplify, and certainly there's almost no one in Tanakh who's unidimensional. And Avner was also another complicated figure who was very great and very flawed. And his end really spells the end of Malchus Shol, of the kingdom of Shol HaMelech. And it's another episode of what might have been, which we had not only last time, but also throughout Shmuel Aleph as well. Great people can be limited in their success because of the nefarious work of scoundrels and knaves. And that's part of life, and great people have to overcome that. And David, especially in his nascent monarchy, was subjected to that too. He had a plan to gain the Malucha and unite the people at the same time, even to bring the recalcitrant tribes under his wing and bring everybody to a very high level of Avodas Hashem. That was his goal. David's plan was thwarted time and again, here too, by evil, by bad midos, by petty rivalries, all given a halachic stamp of approval, which is always very problematic. So who was Avner Ben-Ner? We have discussed him a number of times. Chazal say there's a dispute whether Avner was Shaul's uncle or first cousin, but he was a family member, which was pretty traditional in the ancient world. In fact, not uncommon today amongst dictators also. They want to keep their security forces, at least the head of it, always a family member, like Saddam Hussein did the same thing, and Assad did the same thing. Even Mubarak in Egypt, I think his son heads one of the armed forces divisions. So Avner was known for a number of things, primarily number three, the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, Parsha Tes, famous pasuk, "V'lola giborim milchama." The victory in battle does not only always go to the strong. Ze Avner, "Tichsiv halavishata michamocha b'Yisrael." David said to him in Shmuel Aleph that you're gavra, you're a man. Who's like you in Israel? Domer b'Yasi mishum Yochanan, Noach lo laadam lahaziz kosel banui sheish amos be'ovi mi lahaziz raglo achas shel Avner. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's easier for a person to move a wall that's 12 feet thick than it is to move one leg of Avner Ben-Ner. All right? That is beyond Schwarzenegger. That's a powerful individual. So Avner was a person of great strength, of fearsome fighting ability, Shaul's chief of staff. And yet, what characterized Avner was a hatred of David, a passionate hatred of David, for a number of reasons. As we'll see, among them, that very interestingly, that Avner, for all his greatness, is not really mentioned in Shmuel Aleph in reference to Shaul's wars. He's only mentioned in connection with the pursuit of David. Look at number four, Rav Ariel in Oz Melech. Dafka mishum gedulato v'kocho tmua evato kasha v'mutzeret shel Avner l'David. It's because of his greatness, and especially his physical greatness, that Avner had such a pronounced enmity for David. Mikol gvurotav eina katub misaper b'mufurash davar. About his might, the Tanakh says nothing. Hu eina muzkar b'milchemet Amon u'michmash. He's not mentioned in Amon u'michmash in those wars. Whereas Yishol went to fight, Michmash Yehonatan went to fight with someone else. In those words, he's not mentioned. And in the classic confrontation between Shaul and Goliath, that great war, when Shaul said, "Who is going to fight this man?" Avner was in the AWOL. He was there. I shouldn't say he was AWOL. He was there, but he didn't volunteer. And it was David, a young shepherd, who came forward and said he would fight. So that's part of the antipathy that Avner has for David, because in fact, he should have taken on Goliath. He was the chief of staff. He was the great warrior of Israel. And yet he didn't. And David did. And therefore Avner always seethed with resentment of David, and he saw David as a usurper. Also, Rav Ariel notes, "Hu einonim tzam shol v'yonatam beit motam mod gibur b'gil boa," at that final climactic battle of Shaul's life, when the Plishtim killed him and Yonasan and his other sons, Avner is also not there. So you wonder why in all these battles against Israel's foreign enemies, Avner is not present, and he's the chief of staff. Very strange. And yet David is the one who's going with his men, fighting constantly. The only time he appears, Al-Katuv Madgish et Kiyumo Kasher Lochamim V'Rofim et David. He appears only when he's chasing David. That's when Avner is always at Shaul's side. Avner atzmo lo yotzeli lechem begoliath. Avo besof ha-sipur kasher shol shoel ben miza hanar. After David defeats Avner, and Shaul says, "Who is this young man?" Avner says, "I know who he is." It means Avner was there. He was there, except he stood in the background. His only credentials as a military man, in terms of the combat that he saw, so to speak, was chasing David. And in that he failed also. So here you have a chief of staff of a king who won a number of military victories, and yet they did not involve his skills, his might. So his might existed almost as a psychological dimension that people recognized. But as a practical matter, it didn't exist. And there's no doubt, I mean, it happens even in our world today. Generals or fighting men yearn to see combat. And there's a person can reach a very high level even in the army of some nations that never go to battle. They have generals also. They yearn to see combat, and they'll always feel somewhat deprived if junior officers have been in combat and they haven't. Well, David, in a sense, surpassed Avner in battle and in the hearts and minds of the people, and Avner resented that. He was also Talmud Chacham, as we discussed last time. Avner, expounding the pasuk, "U melachim echalatzecha yetzeyu." That's right, that you will still have kings coming from another son. Yaakov was told by God, kings, plural. So Avner paskind essentially that it's not enough to have only one king from Sheva Binyamin, has to be at least two, plural, melachim, kings. So he therefore anointed or crowned Ishbosheth as the king. Like many generals, probably most generals, no, I shouldn't say that, all generals, he thought he should be the king. Many military men always think the politicians are bumblers, incompetence, who can't really stay focused on issues. So he thinks he should be the king for a variety of reasons. I wrote an article a few months ago about this. Very often the generals, when they do take power, they stumble because they fail to grasp the totality of circumstances that exist off the battlefield. CF Ariel Sharon, for example, he's not the only one. Many generals, they come to power and they suddenly they're different people. They lose sight because they can't handle competing interests, nor is the general accustomed to accepting advice from underlings because he's the sole decision maker and the lives of others depend on him. So notwithstanding that, Avner also thought he should be king, which brings us now to the problem of his own making. Beginning in Perek Gimel, so Perek Gimel starts with an account of Dovin Chevron, and a few sons were born in Chevron, but that we'll discuss another time. Number one, it's the end of Perek Bez. It was a long war, long struggle, really. It's hard to say there were casualties in that war, but there was a long struggle between the household of Shaul and that of David. At one battle, that's right. But then apparently there was just an uneasy rivalry. But over time, people saw that David was David, and they flocked to him. So he began to solidify his hold over the people, whereas Beis Shaul, that royal house, grew weaker and weaker. Now, continuing, it's a few psukim later here, you have a pasuk vav. Vahibi masa milchama ben Beis Shaul uvein Beis David, during this time, this war, this struggle, v'avner haya mischazek b'Beis Shaul. Avner was exerting himself, really means showing chozek, showing his power, demonstrating his power in the house of Shaul. The political order, as we know, was unsettled now because Israel had no king that everybody accepted. Avner, no, very interesting word that's used, mischazek. All right, Rashi says in 2, mischazek b'chol koach al Beis Shaul amid malchuso. Avner was insinuating himself as the power behind the throne. He was the muscle behind Ishbosheth, in fact propping him up, and he recognized that Ishbosheth really was a puppet and was not royal material, whereas Avner was. So he treated Ishbosheth as if Ishbosheth were a figurehead. And that manifested itself in the next puzzle. Ulashol Pilegesh, Ushma Ritzpa Basayo. Shol had a concubine. His name was Ritzpa Basayo. Vayomer El Avner. Apparently Avner took her as his own concubine. Les Majeste. Madua Basol Pilegesh Avi. Right. So, tell me about it. You're not allowed to do that, right? Boker Tov. It's the king's wife. Ishbosheth said to Avner, why did you live with my father's Pilegesh? Vayichal Avner mod al divrei Ishbosheth. Avner became very angry about Ishbosheth's remarks. Vayomer, he said, Harosh Kelev Anochi, am I a dog catcher? Dog warden? Asher Li Yuda? Am I the dog catcher of Judea? Hayom es chesed in Beis Shaul Avicha el Echov vel Merayehu. Should I keep doing acts of kindness for your father Shaul's house with his brothers and his friends? Velohim sisicha b'yad David, and I didn't hand you over to David, but to go to la'avon ha'isha yom, and today you accuse me of sinning with this woman. Ko yaseh Elokim la'avner v'cho yosif lo. So may God do to Avner and do further to him. Ki kasher nishba Hashem leDavid ki chein eseh lo. Just as Hashem has sworn to David, so I shall do for him. La'avir ha'mamlocha mi'Beis Shaul, to remove the kingdom from Shaul's house. U'lokim es kisei David al Yisrael v'yudah midan v'ber sheva. Now he commits himself to switch sides, go to David. Ishbosheth was afraid to answer. So what exactly did he do? Author is right. Yes. Yeah, well, Shaul was dead, so he can't be the king anymore.
What he said,
now it was public knowledge that Shmuel had anointed David as a replacement. All right. It wasn't fully accepted, though, but it was acknowledged.
Is the act of taking the Pilegesh, is that more or less a stepping stone, asserting himself? It's not so much a question of having a woman.
He knew he couldn't be the king, so it was the act of taking the Pilegesh. So what was it exactly?
As a possible royalty.
I think what it was essentially he was claiming for himself the monarchy without actually asserting the holding office. Because he held himself to be the real, he should be the king. Who's Ishbosheth? He's the power. He's the power, and Ishbosheth is the figurehead. All right, like the British royal family. Wow. He's a figurehead. A joke, right? Who is he? He can't fight, he can't lead, he can't do anything. So I'm the one. So he really demonstrated that by taking the Pilegesh. Now, whether he actually did or not, it's a separate question. The Radak explains in 5, Chashadob Pilegesh Aviv, Vimhaya Hadavar Mes, Hoylo Topso Pekach, Lechvod Aviv. Radak says, if in fact it were true, so Moshe should have had him captured and sent. It was forbidden to any man to live with a king's pilegesh, or wife for that matter, widow. You're not allowed to marry the widow of the king. Only another king can marry the widow of a king. Even though she wasn't a full wife, just a concubine, nevertheless, she's still his almana. Since the king had lived with her, so again, it's a breach of kavod. What's that? It's a breach of kavod to the king, to the king's honor, to take the king's scepter, wife, chariot, property, etc. What's that? Talocha.
What do we learn?
Som tasim alecha melech, shetei maso alecha. You have to fear the king. Part of the fear of the king is what the king has is unique to him. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin says. See, his alechas are brought down.
Is this synonymous with the act of Reuben that we found earlier?
So the Gemara says Reuben didn't actually live with her, but what he did was interfere in his father's conjugal rights by trying to encourage his father to sleep in Leah's tent, not Bilhah's tent. But that was inappropriate for a child. Here it's a different dynamic. Here he feels he's the king. He should be the king. He can't be the king. He's not a Ben Shaul, but he should be the king. So he resents Ishbosheth also. And even more, he resents Ishbosheth telling him, criticizing him for it. Because who is Ishbosheth to criticize the muscle? Look at Rashi number 2. No, that's Mephibosheth. That's Yehonatan's son. Harosh Kelev Anoche Shel Yudah. So Avner says to Ishbosheth, am I the chief dog catcher? That's how you treat me? That's how you talk to me? Klumani Chashuv Afilu Kirosh Shomer Klavim Ashel David. Am I even worth to you what the chief dog catcher for David? Rashi the second pshat. V'chiach potz lios rosh b'beischa. Should I be the head in your house? Should I be the captain on your sinking ship? Tovli lios kelev ed yo b'beis David. I'd rather be a dog in David's house because that's a real king. That's David has a future. It's like every player wants to play for the Yankees these days. Yeah.
That's why he didn't try to make himself king.
He couldn't. He wasn't. It wasn't a Ben Shaul. See, now he has to be a dictator.
He's
though.
So powerful.
It's a hereditary position. Have to be a dictator, and that he already knew would not win public approval, because there is a system. It's a hereditary position. So now he turns on Ishbosheth, and he says, "Let's just look at Rashi. Hayom etzeh chesed me'ato." From now on, Noeli Lasos Chesed and Beis Shaul Vimkol Avav. Rhetorical. Now, how should I feel? Should I do any kindness for Shaul's house? Kasher Asisi Adhein, like I did up till now. I never turned you in. I never went to David's side. Avner says now it's finished, and in fact he defects. Look at number 8, Pasuk Yudbeis. Vayishlach Avner Malachim El David Tachtov Lemor. Lemi Oretz, Avner sends a messenger to David saying, who owns the land? Who rules the roost if not for you? Karsov rischoi ti, send your covenant with me, v'hine yadi mach l'seve lecha eskol Yisrael, and my hand will be with you to turn all Israel to you. Avner defects. Was he sincere? So you could argue both ways. Part of him was, part of it was not. Part of Avner saw, of course, a better deal in David's camp, right? A survivor. But Avner also was still Avner, a person of tremendous ego. For this he was punished. Look at Rashi in 7, it's the middle of the page. Lemiar, it's Dover Acher, Tachtov, not a strange word in the pasuk. He sends a messenger, El David Tachtov. So what does Tachtov mean? Tachtov, what does Tachtov mean? Underneath him. Underneath him. So Rashi says, quotes the Medrash, Hizkir Tchilo Bigeres, I'm sorry, Tachtov, Shmo Hizkir Tchilo Bigeres, V'charkach Hizkir Shem David, Ulekach Nenash. He mentioned his name first in the missive that was sent to David, and then David's name, as in, Kosav, he wrote, Mimeni Avner Sar Tzava Yisrael, from me, Avner, the chief of staff of Israel, L'David Melch Yisrael Shalom, to David, the king of Israel, Shalom. Everyone knows you write a letter to the king, you mention the king first, His Excellency, from your humble servant, etc. Avner put his name first. So he saw, in fact, that it was a good career move to go to David. He wanted to ingratiate himself. He wanted also to establish a new power base, no different than these career bureaucrats who flit from party to party. This character, Clark, now made a lot of noise yesterday. And that story today, that story will be gone from the news by Thursday, because he was out of sorts in the White House. There's a Jew who was the chief fundraiser for Howard Dean, named Steve Grossman. He's very prominent in the Democratic Party. So right in the middle of Dean's descent, he abandoned ship, and he became the chief fundraiser for Kerry. All right, he just jumped in the middle. It's a davner. He's jumping off a sinking ship onto a rising star. And no doubt, Avner is also motivated simply by arrogance. And that is reflected in the type of letter that he sent to David. He saw that Ishbosheth was a dead end, and now he had offended him. So he sends this letter. Of course, think about it. It's very good, very fascinating diplomatic intrigue. How do you respond to such a letter? Messenger comes to David. Avner says, I want to go on your side, and I want to coalesce all the tribes of Israel under your rule. How does David respond? So on the one hand, it might be a trap. On the other hand, David wants peace. He wants a reunification. David is looking for a way to unify all the tribes, especially the tribe of Benjamin, Shaul's tribe and Avner's tribe, under his rule. So how better to do it than to co-opt Avner, who was Shaul's chief of staff? Yes, sir.
What happened when Shaul went to Shaul?
Right.
Then he appointed another one. I don't know what was happening. Where was everybody?
As I mentioned once before, right? John Marshall has ruled. Now let him go enforce it. Shmuel is dead. He had no divisions. So therefore, there was no means of enforcing what Shmuel said. It has to. Everyone knew by now that David was to be the king, except the Machlokas we discussed a few weeks ago. Avner agreed David would be the king, but he said there has to be a second king from Shaul first. So that was the Machlokas. Does David reign now, right after Shaul, or is there still an interregnum? That was the because of Umalachim Mechalotzecha Yetzeu. Avner ruled, there has to be two kings from Binyamin, based on his understanding of the pasuk. So it represents an opportunity for David as well as a potential trap. So what he does is he gives Avner a test. Yes.
But doesn't Avner also have blood on his hands?
Yes.
So David just
Avner has blood on his hands.
So David just says, hey.
Well, there's something magnanimous about that, that David, who wants, he doesn't want to kill Jews. He wants to have the tribes of Israel acknowledge him as Melech, so part of that has to come with the recognition that David's side had suffered losses, and Avner's side had suffered losses. The attitude that, well, he has blood on his hands, therefore we should kill him too, so then the cycle of violence just continues. Then Avner's family will start killing David's family, and then it never ends. So there is an element of magnanimity, and it's a far-reaching perspective that David can say, despite the opposition of some of his forces, no, if Avner wants to make peace, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. All right? We are, unfortunately, in a mindset today, in a world where peace is so impossible, and the promises over the years have proven to be so hollow that we can't even imagine two bitter enemies ever making peace. But David wants it, because you're not talking about external enemies, foreigners. You're talking about Klal Yisrael. Right.
They just can't magnanimous, but he'd murder if indeed.
Well, murder, you mean Avner to Asael.
Yeah, right. In other words, you can't just kiss them.
That's true. It's hard to say, though, he'd be chayv misen based in, for reasons we discussed and we'll discuss again. Because after all, Asael was pursuing him. Now, whether he's a rodef or not, can I say that? Whether he's a rodef or not, so the Gemara will discuss. But in fact, it's not clear cut. The fact is, you recall, Avner kept running away from Asael, saying, back off, which, you know, even under American law, the justification defense exists. If the pursued says, back off, and the pursuer still comes, so that is justification. It's the legal term for self-defense. That's what you're allowed to defend yourself. So the Gemara questions whether he did it the right way, etc. But at a certain point, It's funny, you know. By Vod Risham Rino, the pasuk says, "When a Russia is killed, is song." All right. So whatever the future holds, Sheikh Yassin sleeps with the fishes today. His body apparently was just demolished, disintegrated. The missile hit him directly. All right. Talk about a missile having your number on it. The missile hit him directly. His body is almost. There's nothing left to bury. What's that? All left was his head. Okay. What's that? And they were part of the wheelchair, right. Well, they make those things very sturdy these days. So you see, a Russia dies, it's time to rejoice. Whatever the future holds, one Russia is eliminated, it's also something. But you see, I was listening to some of the Arabs today saying, oh, the Israelis, the cycle of violence, they don't know when to stop, etc., etc. Of course, it's all bogus, because there is no cycle of violence. It's constant violence. It's no cycle. It's constant. They attack, they attack. If you respond, that's a cycle. All right? Stop attacking. There's no cycle. There's no violence at all. What's that? Yeah, it's CNN. It's unbelievable. CNN was interviewing someone last night saying, Sheikh, I said, why would they kill a moderate like Sheikh Yassin who was able to rein in Hamas? What's that? Spiritual leader too? That's correct.
Fox News said he had every operative, he had the phone number.
I'm surprised nobody picks up on this. The Times today, writing about Hamas, said it's Arabic. It's an initial for something. Arabic for what? A word, a steadfastness, something like that. But Hamas in Hebrew means violence. Hamas. Hamas is violence. That's what it is. Kishmam Kain Haim. That's exactly what it is. An organization dedicated to killing. My point is, when it's amongst brothers, especially amongst Jews, so we don't want a cycle of violence. And here's a mitzvah of Goel Adam. We'll discuss another time. There is such a mitzvah. But at a certain point, if everybody becomes a Goel Hadam for everybody else, then there's nobody left. So it takes a leader to say, Ad Kan. That's it. If they want to come to our side, This is what we want. We don't want to kill Shevet Binyamin. We want Shevet Binyamin to be part of Klal Yisrael. That's what we want. So now they're agreeing, so who are we to disagree? So that was David's approach. He gave a test. Vayomer, Tov, good, David says. Ani achrosit chabris, I will make a covenant with you. Ach davar echad anochi shorel me'edcha leimar. I'm asking one thing. Lo seres panai, I don't want to see your face. Kiim lifnei heviachos michal bashul b'vachal erosus panai. I want you to return Michal bashul, my wife, to me. You remember Michal bashul was taken away by Shaul, her father, and given to Palti ben Laish. We discussed that whole triangle a few months ago. Now he wants her back. Why does he want her back? It makes sense. And you'll notice the next pasuk. David was very careful about Ishbosheth's kavod too. He asked Avner to overlook it, but he sent a message to Ishbosheth. Give me my wife Michal back. And sure enough, he sent him. But David wants Michal back, and he makes the request to Ishbosheth. So everybody should know that David is not duplicitous. He's not negotiating with Avner behind Ishbosheth's back, but rather Ishbosheth should know that Avner is acting on what he had told Ishbosheth. And more, if he agrees and Ishbosheth also acquiesces and sends his sister, Michal's half-sister, back to David, what he's essentially saying is that David is again son-in-law, so to speak, of Shaul, and you have unity in the family, just like you have in the world. Sometime, certainly in the medieval times, you had rival provinces or countries make peace, and then they marry a prince of one to a princess of another. Like Ferdinand and Isabel is a similar example from Aragon and Castile. So you had two rival provinces seal their covenant by having the children of the monarchs marry. So if Michal rejoins David, then it's a sign that whatever breach existed between Beis David and Beis Shaul is now completely healed. So that was the test. Happened. Vayishlach Ishbosheth vayikachem meyimish meyim paltiel ben Laish. So as we recall from a few months back, Ishbosheth sends a message, takes Michal from Palti ben Laish, and gives her to Avner. So he walks her, remember that very emotional scene, Alohu Vacho, Acharat Bachurim, he's crying, Palti ben Laish, he loved Michal. Lech Shuva Yashov. Then he, Palti concedes, and he lets Michal returned to David. So in fact, you have an agreement. Avner, Ishbosheth, Michal is brought back in the public eye. The rift that existed between David and Shaul is now healed. Avner is on David's side. The nation is whole. Udvar Avner hayom ziknei Yisrael emor. And Avner starts fulfilling his covenant with David. He goes to this Canaan, and he says, from yesterday, before yesterday, you wanted David as king? Batasu, now do it. Ki Hashem amar David leimor, b'yad David avdi, hoshia sami, Yisrael miyad plishim, miyad kol oyveihem. David is the king. God said to David, by the hand of David, I'll save Israel from the hand of the plishim and all my enemies. And not only did he go to the Zkenim, v'yedaber gam avner, basnei Binyamin, went to his own tribe. The tribe which would be most reluctant, most supportive, most loyal to Shaul. He talked Binyamin into accepting David. Then he went to Hebron and he told David what happened. Everything is happy. Avner comes to Hebron. His 20 men, down to a very small fighting force. Everything is happy. David couldn't be happier. Avner Bener couldn't be happier. Everybody is rejoicing. Yes?
David said to Avner, unless you bring back a
Michal.
Then don't come.
Right. Bring back Michal, don't come back.
But he also has to see Ishbosheth.
Because Ishbosheth was the putative king. So again, he didn't want to seem that he is forcing, taking Michal forcibly. He's asking permission from the one Shevet Binyamin recognizes as king, and in fact, the brother of Michal. So she's living in his home. He sent a Avner was the one he asked Avner.
Oh, okay.
But he sent a message to Ishbosheth, essentially saying, give her to Avner. So Ishbosheth would have to acquiesce to the arrangement, and he did. So really everybody's happy.
I'm sure that Doug knew that Ishbosheth was not a major player.
He did, but nevertheless, public appearances mean something. Public appearances mean something. And if the public sees that David did not capture Avner and browbeat a confession out of him and make him a turncoat, but Avner came of his own accord, willingly, and now wants everybody to come follow David, then that's exactly what David wants. Everything is perfect. Everybody's happy, except Yoav ben Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya was David's chief of staff. Like Avner was Shaul's uncle, a cousin, so Yoav was David's nephew. And you remember, of course, his brother Asael had been killed. Yoav is not reconciled at all to Avner, neither professionally. There's a bitter rival, and he sees Avner as David's enemy, Shaul's chief of staff, or personally, because Avner had killed Asael, Yoav's brother. What's very interesting, yes. Nothing. Ishbosheth, it depends. We discussed last time the chronology here. Once Avner left, Ishbosheth really realizes he's no longer a king. And that's Meir Aso. So just if he feared Avner, and Avner's just a general, and Avner goes to David, so then the jig is up. Yes? Let's see. So Yoav, very interestingly, is the mirror image of Avner. And as happens so often, they're so alike that Yoav despises him. Turn the page, look at number 11, again, Rav Ariel and Oz Melech. Hitbonenut be'oivo agadol shavner Yoav melamedet she'esh b'nehem dimyom rav. If we examine the enmity between Avner and Yoav, it teaches us that there was great similarities between them. Shnehem sarei tzava bereshita shel hamlucha. Each of them were chiefs of staff in new kingdoms. Ushnehem etzteinim bepatriotot fanatit. They're both fanatic patriots. That's an English phrase. They're both fanatic patriots. B'nemonut hitzonit. They're extreme loyalists. Avner to Shaul, Yoav to David. Hem meguyasim lachalutim begufam beruchom bechol ma'adam lenosei echad bilvad hamalchut. They are drafted completely, body and soul, to one focus, the monarchy. V'dageishu al malchut yoter me'asher al melech, and they really support the kingdom more than the king. Al shol v'David kifratim. Could be that when you're starting a kingdom, you need a little muscle like this. It's built on this type of undying loyalty amongst your closest circles. Servitude to the nation and to its king. That's what Yoshua had been told. God told Yoshua, don't worry, nobody will rebel against you. The task that Yoav fulfilled for David at the beginning of his kingdom, they're dedicated not to a person but to an idea, to serve the king. And in that they were fanatics. But they were fanatic patriots. They're both fiercely loyal. Avner to Malchus Binyamin, Yoav to Malchus Yehuda. So they really occupied the same position also. In the hierarchy, the top military officer to the king, they both had the same position, so they are headed for a confrontation. Continue number 9, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayomer Avner el David, Akumano ve'elecha ve'ekpitzoel Adoni ha-melech haskol Yisrael v'yichrusu etcha bris u'malachta b'chal shetaven avshecha. Perfect, Avner says, right, came back, completed my first assignments, let me go again, I'll tell everybody now, Beis Shaul is reconciled with Beis David. V'yishalach David es Avner v'yelech b'shalom. David sends Avner, and he goes in peace. What David sees as a welcome reconciliation, Yoav sees as a trap. V'hinei avdei David v'yoav b'me agdud v'shalom rav imam heviu. Now David's servants, Yoav and his troop, came back from their raids. V'avner nenum David b'chevron. Avner already left. David sent him away. V'yelch b'shalom. He went in peace. V'yoav v'chol atzavo asher ito bo. Yoav, the whole army with him, came. They said to Yoav, saying, "Bo Avner ben Ner l'melech, v'yashalchei v'yelch b'shalom." Avner ben Ner went to the king. He came and he left in peace. Who told him? Note the pasuk. Says Vayagidu. They. Who's the they? The Jewish people. Trust me. Always have a they. Troublemakers. Anonymous. Just an anonymous they. What's that? Moles, right. Moles can make a mountain out of a molehill very easily. It's the anonymous they who now sour the atmosphere because they know exactly what buttons to twist on Yoav, and no doubt amongst the soldiers, not the politicians, but amongst the soldiers, there remains a grievance against Avner, because Avner had been pursuing them for several years. Avner had killed their near and beloved. Yoav Elamelech, so Yoav comes to the king. Vayomer says, Mel Sisa, what did you do? Hine v'Avner Elecho, Avner came to you. Lama zashilach tov ayelech aloch, why'd you let him go? Yodates Avner ben Ner, kilufatos chobo. You know Avner ben Ner, he only came to seduce you, to trick you, to soften you up. He only wants to know your comings and goings, your strengths and weaknesses, what you do. He's not coming because he wants to come on our side. He's coming to expose our vulnerabilities and then take advantage. He's a diehard Shaulite. That's how you should perceive him. Yoav sees a trap. David doesn't answer because David had made his peace with Avner. And he felt, apparently, that Yoav is blowing off some steam. Vayitzei Yoav meim David, vayishlach malachim achrei Avner, vayashiv osu mibor asira, vidavid lo yada. Yoav leaves David, sends messages to Avner, catches him at bor hasira, remember the phrase, and David knew nothing about this. Vayashav Avner chevron, vayateo Yoav el toch hashar, ledaber ito basheli. Avner catches... When Avner returns to Hebron, so Yoav takes him aside and starts speaking to Bashali. So Radaxas Bashali means Bishalom. Speak to him peaceably to soften him up. Rashi says, he says Bishkaga Bashali. Bishkaga, he spoke to him as if it was an accident, as if David had forgot to tell him something, and he's just calling him back incidentally to give him a message. Yes?
Is there something lacking in leadership? Here's your chief of staff coming to you, telling me, listen, this guy's coming to case the joint, and David just doesn't say, back off. I mean, this, we made peace, stop it, enough of this warring. He just keeps silent and lets
him. He did it because he wanted him to do what he did.
What's that?
Oh, wait a minute.
He wanted him to kill him.
David?
No, that's a serious
Pastor Shalom.
He wanted him to kill.
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. The Navi is silent. But apparently David, I just deduced from the text that David had made a bris with Avner, And then he said to, when they came, they said exactly, Vayelech b'shalom, he sent them in peace. David never anticipated. Yoav blew off steam. He's upset, but he's not a decision maker. So it could be David felt that if David had already embraced Avner, Yoav is not going to defy his uncle the king and do anything. We don't know that he didn't, but you're correct. The Navi leaves it tantalizingly vague. See, brings, let's see, so he brings in Avner, brings him close. He strikes him again, stabs him in the fifth rib, all right, as to avenge the blood of his brother Asael. Avner is dead. You'll recall that Asael had been stabbed also by Avner in the fifth rib. Now, we mentioned last time that Chazal said the fifth rib is that which where the gallbladder is suspended. Okay, one second. Now, Brian said it's not so, right? But let me ask you this. You have a different count of the fifth rib. Is there some way you can count the fifth rib which brings it near to the gallbladder? Yeah? Okay. Maybe they did that. All right. There you go. Seventh rib. Count from the bottom up. Okay, it's fine. You see then from the Navi, you're counting wrong all these years. You have to change the terminology. Okay. See, kills him. Kills him, the score settled. Look at number... Look at number nine. What's that?
Right. And you don't say anything because you say that you're only going to get the kids inside and more. You let the kids go off scene and say, I wish I'd rather board in the house. You don't.
That's correct. Yeah, you got. Yeah, I mean, actually, you let them fight. You don't think he's going to do it. And by the same token, David needs Yoav also. Yoav is his chief of staff. David has a bigger picture to worry about than just fighting battles. That's why he has Yoav. The Gemara says, a beautiful chazal. If not for Yoav, David could not learn Torah. You have to fight. And if not for David and his Torah, Yoav could not fight in battle. That there, Avner is not just Yoav, but there are other scores to be settled. So look at number 10. It's the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. You recall that Yoav sends him a message by Yeshiva Somi Bor Hasiro. So the Gemara says, "My Bor Hasiro, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahano." Bor v'siro garmulo la'avne she'ereg. Bor and siro, the cistern and the thorn, that caused Avner to be killed. V'atel Yoav el toch ha'shar. What's toch ha'shar? The middle of the gate? When we say gate, what do we always speak about? Sanhedrin. Amar b'yochanan. Shadanu din Sanhedrin. They tried him in Sanhedrin. It wasn't an impulsive act. Although Chazal indicate that Yoav brought the evidence that Avner killed Asael, and before the he just testified, and before the Beis Din paskened that he's Chayav Nisa, Yoav just killed him anyway. So he really prejudged the outcome. But nevertheless, from Yoav's perspective, he was killed using the appropriate judicial processes. Turn the page, look at number 12, Rashi explains. What's that? Hold on, we'll get to that. What's that? No, that's the hint, Toch HaShar. Shar is the gate, where the Sanhedrin sat, like the beginning of Perek Dalet in Rus, where it says that Boaz came, it was sitting HaShar. Shar is always the gate. The Shar is always the Sanhedrin. Hold on a second, we'll see. Alright, let's do that now. What do you mean accidental? No, on the contrary. No, no. A Goel Adam exists in every case. If it's a person who's killed b'shogeg, then the Goel Adam has the right to kill him until he gets the ir miklot. If it's a person who kills a b'mezid intentionally, the Goel Adam can always kill him until Sanhedrin kills him or until he's acquitted. All right? So Goldam exists in every case. Right, look at number 20. In Yonah Diomo. So again, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Tesamad Aleph. Asiul Yov, Dainis. They brought Yov to Basin to be tried. Omar Le, Mike Taima Katalte Lavner. Why did you kill Avner? Omar Le, Goel Adam Nasael Ave. I was my brother's Goel Adam, my brother's blood avenger. All right? So they said to him, Asel Rodev Hava. Asel was a Rodev because he was chasing Avner to kill him. Omar Le, so Yov said, Hoyel Latsil Bechad Mevorov. He should have stopped him by just wounding him. And the Gemara continues, we did this last time. Maybe he couldn't, lo yachole. So he said, no, if Avner is so adept, so dexterous, that he's able to stab Asael in the fifth rib, so it means if he could stab him in the fifth rib, be mechaveh to that part of the body, which is where injury is fatal, he could be mechaveh to another part of the body just to disable him. So again, it seems from this that that Yoav was a Goel Adam, but Avner may not have been a Rodev, because he was acting in self-defense. Maybe he could have stopped him. So that, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, it's left vague. It's not entirely clear, although in fact from David's perspective, even something which might have some halachic justification to it is not necessarily wise. But there are broader dimensions here we have to understand. Look at 12. Rashi on the Gemara Sanhedrin. Bor v'sira garmulo lavner shenerag. Bor, what's the case of the cistern? That's Pachas Maim Shalakach David Mirasha Sof Shal Shol. Remember the second time David encountered Shol in the cave? He took his spear and a flask of water. And then he called out to Avner. Rashi tells the whole story. Ru'unayfo, Chanis HaMelech, Ha'etza Pachas HaMayim. And Avner at that time, that's when David called to Avner, you Avner, the great one, you didn't defend your king. At that point, Avner could have said to Shaul, you see, Re'e kamat tzadiku shelo hargecha. Look how righteous David is. He didn't kill you and he had the chance. Instead of that, Avner chose to cover himself and say the opposite. Lo micha elomar shemo echa mibnei atzava nisanam lo. Maybe David was not in the cave. Maybe someone gave him your flask. So don't believe him. That was Bar. Sirah, similar thing. The first time, coats. The first time David came and he tore Shaul's cloak. And then again he called from across the other mountain, or I think he was down on the road at that time. And he called out and he said, look, I tore the king's cloak. And Avner also could have said to Shaul, he's correct. You see, he doesn't want to kill you. He's not pursuing you. Instead, Avner said to Shaul, Shemo kishavartem etzel akotzim asirim nichnas echem en akotzim bichnaf milcho vehu hayat tamun shom v'chotacho. Maybe when you were walking through the ravine, through the brush, maybe your cloak caught on a thorn and part of it tore off, and then he picked it up and he's pretending that he's the one who do it, who tore it. So Avner, rather than try to effect a reconciliation between David and Shaul, instead stoked the flames. Now other reasons are also given. Number 13, Rishalmi and Peah in the Perek Aleph. Four reasons actually, which go to the personality of Avner. Avner Loma Nerag, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbanan, they all say different things. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, Al she'osa daman shel narim schog. We discussed this last time. Avner precipitated that duel of the soldiers in Perek Beis, which led to bloodshed. So a Jew, especially a Torah Jew, who foments violence like that for sport, so that blood is on his head. Rish Lakish said, Al shehiktim shmo l'shmo shel David, because he put his name before David in the letter that he sent, as we discussed. Rabbanan said, Al shalayniach l'shol l'spayes min David. He didn't allow them to reconcile. The Eishomrim al yedei she'haisa sfeiko b'yada limchaz b'novi arkanim b'lomicha. Again, Avner could have protested and told Shaul not to kill Novi arkanim. and he did not. What does all this mean? So Avner sought to a number of things. They all point to aspects of Avner's personality. First, he was aggressive. Al Yisalel v'lo lagibor milchama. He was aggressive. So that's why he had the duel take place. Avner was also arrogant. That's why he put his name before David's name. Avner was also selfishly loyal and self-centered. That's why it troubled him that there might be a reconciliation between Shaul and David. And we see from the last one, Novir Kohanim, that he didn't have a commitment to justice at all. He was really he's a prototype. We know the commander who's so faithful to his superior that he'll do anything and kill anybody. And he abides by no moral norms. He's just in his own world, his own moral world. And such people can cause tremendous harm to Jewish life. So Avner is killed, the fifth rib, just like Asael was. Something else, the Abarbanel in 19 has other ideas that he mentions, what Ethan referred to. V'aniach shov shedavar ha-melech olav ha-shom chosha sheyov lo niskavim bozel l'nkom nikmas Asael achiv. David suspected that Yoav was not primarily interested in avenging his brother's blood, but he did this shloshot tachlias, three purposes. One, pechod mipachdo she David yehav modes Avner yischaber imom yavoi lov. Yoav was afraid if Avner joined with David, so Yoav be demoted. He'd take over his position. Out of jealousy for Avner, he killed him. Second possibility, Shosuz Elasos Gvur, he wanted to demonstrate his strength. Avner has a reputation as a great warrior, the mighty man of Israel. Yoav kills him, Yoav takes that reputation. It's like the guy who beat Bruno Sammartino. Three, Ki Choshav Yoav She'Avner Bevoel David Yekol Yisrael Acharav Yekulam B'Shavu V'Ashkei. This is the most frightening of all because it's so modern. Yoav, as President Eisenhower once said, was the head of the military-industrial complex. He didn't want peace. He wanted there to be strife because generals make their living out of war. So he was afraid of a reconciliation. He wanted war. And therefore, as does happen, he killed the opposition so that the war should go on and on and on. David had all these suspicions, and therefore he reacts very harshly. Turn back to number 9, Pasuk Chof Ches. Vayishma David me'achareichein vayomer David. David's afraid of something else also now. What are the people going to say? Did David set up Avner? After going through the whole demonstration, bringing Michal back and reaching out and making a covenant, did David now betray his word? Because that could be fatal to his monarchy. He said, I and my kingdom are guiltless forever. The guilt shall rest upon the head of Yoav and all his father's house. And now he curses him. His own family. There should never cease from Yoav's house. Zov umtsoro umachzik bapelech. Five curses. There shall never cease from Yoav's house Zov, I mean a person who's Tumo, Mitzora, Tzoraz, Machzik Bapelech, someone who's lame, they need crutches, Nofel Bacherev, they fall by the sword, and Chasar Lechem, those who lack food. These are the curses. If you turn back again, the Medrash darshans all of them. Alright? Understand, of course, that David is horrified by what has happened because his whole plan for a peaceful reconciliation is again foiled. And therefore his reputation might be ruined. People will think that David tricked Avner and then killed him, unless Yoav is made an example of. Yoav is disciplined very strongly. So because Yoav impaired the ability of Malchus David to take root, if the Malchus is just power and glory and violence, then it's meaningless. It's a Chil Hashem. So in fact, it was an eternal example that was made of Yoav. Now, look at 17. The Yalkut says that Kach Amru Chazal, Kol Misha Yeshlo Zchus, Zochel HaMisha Dvarim. Person has a merit, he merits five things: Noi, beauty, Koach, strength, Osher, wealth, Chochma, wisdom, Shonim, years. Avram had it, Yitzhak had it, and the reverse is also, the converse also exists. Person has no Zchus, they're all taken away from them. It says, Mida Keneged Mida. Zov has no Koach. Mitzoro is disfigured, has no beauty. Machzik Barpela has nothing to eat. It can have no wealth. Hasar lechem, lechem here means Torah. He has no knowledge. Nofel bacherev, dies young. But even if you kill for a good cause, the problem is that it's hard to stop killing for no good cause or for a bad cause, because murder becomes just murder for the sake of murder, like the Arabs today. That poor guy, Friday night, George Khoury, a Christian, who was killed in Yerushalayim, shot because the Arabs thought he was a Jew. All right. So first they glorify in the credit, and the next day they realize who they killed. His father, apparently, a lawyer, represents them, represents the Arabs, and that's murder for the sake of murder. You just shoot. He was jogging in French Hill. It's an Israeli Arab. They just shot an Arab. They just turned to be a very prominent Arab from a prominent family. That's murder for the sake of murder. So they apologize. They said he's a martyr. The family's not impressed. And apparently, it's unbelievable how Ashkoch operates. His grandfather was killed in the bombing in Kikar Tzion in 1975 when I was in Yerushalayim. A bombing killed 14 people, four of them happened to be Arabs, one of them was his grandfather. See, he had a very prominent Israeli Arab Christian family. Both the grandfather and the grandson are killed by Arabs in terrorist acts 29 years apart, 28 and a half years apart. So an example was made. But fascinating Chazal, number 16, in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, Omer Yehuda Marav called Klolo Shekilo David Yoav Niskaimu Bizarro Shel David. All the curses that David cursed Yoav were fulfilled in David's family. Zov, Rechava, Mitzora, Uzio, Machzik Barpelech, Asa, Nofo Bacherev, Yoshio, Chasulechem, I guess I cut it out, there's another one. They all were fulfilled in David. Because what's a klala? A klala, curse, is a tefillah to withhold God's bracha from someone. But that causes one's own deeds to be scrutinized. And when David's heirs did not measure up, so they were punished. And conversely, here the klala only applied to Yoav's family, who either assisted him or in later years followed his ways. But in fact, the message was sent. If you look at 14, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Running out of time on the CD, so we'll finish. David says to Yoav, El Kola'am, Asheri, to 14 on the right side. Kiru bigdechem yichikru sakim sifdu v'nei avner. David told everyone again, like they did for Shaul and Yonasan, tear your clothing, put on sackcloth, lament. David follows the coffin. Avner is buried in Hebron. His grave is not very accessible today, but I've been there. It's right across from Moras HaMachpelah, maybe 20 feet or something. But he saw, as you walk up the steps to get in, if you would continue, if there was no wall there, that's where the grave of Avner ben Ner is. But he saw Melch Kalov Ayev, he cried, Kever Avner, Vayivku Kalam. And again, another eulogy of David. Hakimos Navoyamus Avner. Should Avner die the death of fools? Which became an expression in English too. Your hands were not bound, your feet were not placed in chains. You fell before villains, before evildoers. That was his eulogy for Avner ben Ner. What this did again is send a message to the people that David was not involved, and in fact they recognized it. Look at the end, Pasuk Lamed Vav. The people recognized, they were satisfied with David, that he was uninvolved. Eventually, Yoav pays a price for it, that's later on in the story. Everybody knew, again, just like David publicly lamented and mourned the deaths of Shaul and Yonasan to show people he had no grievance with them, did the same with Avner, buried him where he was the king in Hebron, again to show his tremendous respect for Avner. What's the message being sent? So the Malkum says that people should recognize that Jews don't do this, that it has to stop here, the killing has to stop. Unfortunately, the message was not received. 18, I'll just tell you the story quickly. Now, Ishbosheth hears Avner is dead, so he's finished anyway. By Yadav, he despairs. V'chol Yisrael nivhalu, everybody is shocked. Two people from Bnei Rimon, Ba'ano and Rechov, they come to Ishbosheth in the dead of night, and v'shocheves mishkav atzoraim, he's sleeping in the afternoon rather. All right, they enter his house. Again, they stab him in the third rib. They kill him. They kill Ishbosheth. Why? Again, to curry favor with David. They decapitate him, chop off his head. They bring the head to David, and they say, "Vayomer LaMelech, Hinei Rosh Ishbosheth ben Shaul Oyivcha, Asher Bikeshes Nafshecha." Here's the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, your enemy, who tried to kill you. And now God has granted you revenge from Shaul and his offspring this day. Now they're all dead. One is still alive. That's Mephibosheth, with the Novi inserts here as well. So David is horrified. He says, as Hashem lives, who's redeemed my soul, if I killed the messenger who told me Shaul was dead, how much more so do I have to kill you evil people? Sounds like a Mel Gibson movie. David takes these two lads, he kills them, he cuts off their hands and their legs, and he hangs them over the pool in Hebron, in a public place. And he takes Ishbosheth's head and he buries it together with Avner and Hebron. Why? So people should see again, this is not what we do. Look at 22, the bottom left. The Malbim, he chopped off their hands and legs. Vayitlu, Kedei Shelo Yazid Od Ish L'Shlach Yad B'Melech. So people should know, nobody should take the law into his own hands. V'zeh Osa Midin Melech V'lo Midin HaTorah. Granted, the Torah law, we don't dismember a body like that. But this is Din Malchus. The king is given the Rishus permission to violate the Torah on occasion in order to make a public statement. Here the message has to be reinforced, and it is through this gruesome display of the limbs of these two individuals. Not to sow fear, as the despots are wont to do, but to stifle the reign of terror. Now think about it. It's rampant violence in Eretz Yisrael. It's very hard to clamp down on it, because violence feeds into a very raw, primal human emotion. And as we see, Rachman al-Tzal in our day, once it's unleashed, it's very difficult to restrain. All these things are frightening for us to behold. But we have to recognize that the Malucha needs sometimes unorthodox methods in order to secure itself, in order to be established. By the same token, in order to survive, by the same token, it can't breed a legacy of violence or injustice where it also can't survive. So that really is the test, the balance that's struck between the king being strong and having to use violence, but not letting violence overtake him or his people. That's the test of Malchus Beis David, and in fact, that's the test of every Jewish government, the test of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages, and even down to our day. Next time, David HaMelech is declared the king, he establishes the Melucha, brings the Aron HaKodesh to what will be the city of Yerushalayim, and his reign begins. So next time we'll discuss really what Malchus Beis David represents. That'll be after Pesach.